Hi, I'm Mara Webster with InCreative Company, and thank you so much for tuning into one of our talks today. We are a year-round talk series bringing you the best creative voices across film, television, theater, and entertainment. And I'm so thrilled today to be joined by the team behind Hulu's show, The Great. We have Tony McNamara, who's the creator, writer, and executive producer, Elle Fanning, who plays Catherine and is an executive producer on the show as well, and Nicholas Holt, who plays Peter. And Tony, I wanted to start with you in terms of the language. And I know that everyone always gloms on to the way that you really create this myriad of language between classical language and modern language. And so much of writing is thinking about various structure points, particularly within episodic, but within writing individual sentences with the way that you mix language, I was really curious if there's some sort of structure that you've developed for yourself in the way that you merge these two language forms together.
I figure there is, that just exists in my head probably without thinking about it. I don't really like think about it too consciously. I think originally I kind of did. I not that consciously, but I was trying to create a language that was period, but very accessible and kind of modern. So probably at the start, I was a bit conscious of how I put it together. But now it's very second nature. So I never even think about it now. It's just a weird algorithm in my head or something.
Yeah. And then Elle, you know, you've talked extensively about jumping into television, how one of the things is the difference in pacing from movies and the way that scripts come at you at the last minute as they're still being written when you're working on it. But I was really interested in how that impacts you in terms of the dialect on the show. I know that you worked with a dialect coach throughout the first season. So when you're getting these scripts at the last minute, is there a difference in the way that you're having to work with scenes because you're also thinking very specifically about the sounds of the language and within the cadence?
Yeah, that's interesting. Sandra Fries is my dialect coach, and I've done an English accent before, and she's always helped me on previous movies. I think like Tony's writing for this show, at least, like, so lends itself to just the English accent. Like, if it just should totally, it just needs to be said in that way, in that rhythm, I think. So I think having the accent actually helps me get into that tone and also memorize the words better because it just flows easier. I think, like, I've never tried to do any other accent. Like, that's the one accent I can do. So I'm like, okay, at least I'm kind of okay at it and used to it. But I work with her like once a week, and we'll like get the scripts. We're like, okay, we're going to go over week per week and just like get it in my mouth and do funny, you know, exercises. But we, you know, filming in London, we filmed the show in a studio in London. So it's helpful to be surrounded by a crew that's all speaking in that rhythm, you know, a bit. So yeah, I think for now I've gotten used to it.
And then Nick, I love how you've talked in the past about how, you know, despite all of your extensive experience, that you always find yourself still asking a lot of questions about how certain things are working. And then in recent years, you've become really interested in post-production and editing and ultimately kind of like how your performance impacts some of the choices that are made at that stage. So I wanted to ask about, in working on this show in particular, if that's one of the things that you've been looking at a little bit more in terms of post-production, and if so, whether learning a little bit more about that process has impacted the way that you think about your performance on set at all.
One of our great DPs on the first series, John Brawley, gave me a book, actually. I think it's called Blink of an Eye, which is a really good read and an insight into editing and stuff. And Elle and I were talking about it like a week or so ago as well, because I think particularly when, you know, with shows like this, you have different directors coming in. So sometimes in scenes, it's useful for you to have more of an awareness, you know, not overly complicating it in your mind because you doing the acting first and foremost, but have more of an awareness of how things are going to come together. It makes it useful for you slightly on set in terms of watching how scenes play out and what you're doing. Particularly like we were saying kind of earlier, there's kind of a slightly faster pace we're set in shooting wise. So it's useful to kind of think like that a little bit. And I guess that's just me as well, getting older and trying to understand the game a little bit more.
Yeah. And because you were just mentioning the different directors coming in on the series, and I know that Elle, you've talked about you know, the adaptability of working with different directors in film even, and how you really take your working style, but also look to what's their stylistic approach. And so for the two of you, I was actually really curious about the way in which you adapt to a director's style, but on television at the same time, there's also this dance where they're adapting to your style because they're really looking at the ecosystem that's already in flow on set in terms of production and character approach, especially if they're coming in later episodes and on the second season that you guys are filming right now.
I think that's been one of the, not biggest challenges, but just, I guess, one of the biggest standout differences between like film and television, because film, you're just, I mean, you're so relying, it's like that one director and that one person's vision. And then now we each block, they pretty much, our directors do about two episodes, or maybe sometimes they'll come back later and they'll shoot some more episodes. But right when you get used to the flow, it's like they're taken away from you and then someone else comes in. But I think, and Nick and I talk about this a lot, there is something to the new person coming in. Like there is something there that like you kind of need the shakeup, I think. Like right when you get in the groove, it's like, all right, we're going to throw this at you. And you're like, oh, wow. Like they have obviously their own point of view and they're trying to adapt to us. And we have a very, you know, we have a specific thing with our show, but I think it's actually good that we have new, like a new voice coming in that's like making you think about something from a different way. It is interesting. I enjoy it. I mean, it's just something to get used to.
And then Tony, one of the things I wanted to ask you about in terms of diving into writing season two is when you were working on the first season, you talked a little bit about how you'd have, I mean, you've got whiteboards behind you, but one of the things in the writer's room was these whiteboards that would have a lot of specific research details that you'd discovered about that point in time, you know, whether it was peeing on the wheat to see if you're pregnant and a lot of intrinsic details like that. But then as you were writing the scripts, you would keep looking to those boards and seeing if there were places to pull those details in. And in going into the second season, is that still part of the process for you and something where you've created an extensive list of those sorts of things again?
Yeah, I mean, we sort of created, and then I think this year we had it and it informed how we thought about the season, but we probably haven't looked at it as much as we did last year, maybe because it's the second season and we're just a bit more in the groove. I mean, we kind of find things, even today we were like, find out, you know, we have a assistant who goes and does quick research for us. So we did have a bunch at the start, and then this year we're sort of doing it a bit more piecemeal as we need things to kind of give texture or kind of an interesting way to think about something or what really happened. We sometimes do that. So it's a sort of random approach, but it seems to work.
And I think it's so interesting that part of your writing process has always been writing things down on yellow legal pads. And how does the process of just physically writing it down on a pad really make it indelible in a different way, or make you think about the text through going through the physical act of putting it on paper in that way?
I don't know, other than reminding me I'm old. And when I started, that's all we had, yellow pads and fountain pens.
I'm always
right now. Totally. I think for me, it helps free me up creatively. If I have to, even though we write, you know, I like to watch the show as I write and react to what's happening. So we do kind of run pretty close to the edge. It means I know what's going to happen, but I just want to, it's just creatively freeing in a way. I don't think about what I'm doing. I don't worry if it's good. It's just me scribbling on yellow paper. How much pressure can that be? Whereas if I have to write it on a computer, I'm like, oh, I'm actually writing a script and 120 people are going to go into action and go and do things because I wrote something and spend money and stuff. So if I do it on yellow pad, it's just like, it's just me, like I was a kid doing it. So that's what I try and keep. So that it's just fun and joyful for me to do it, you know, before it gets to the serious bit, you know.
And then Nick, I wanted to talk about your character a little bit, because, you know, Tony always credits how much heart you bring into him, so that when we have all these reprehensible things that he's doing on screen, that we still kind of understand and sympathize and connect with this character and where it's coming from. And I feel like you do such a fantastic job at really bringing this fallibility and this actual sense of loneliness, because none of his connections, because of his position of power, but also because of the way that he treats people, are really kind of built on human connection and emotion in the same way. And all he wants is desperately to be loved. And so I was really interested in how you bring a lot of that fallibility and that almost like childlike desperation for love into even the most reprehensible things that he's doing.
That's the fun part of the character, really. And it is very much in the writing, though. It's kind of, you're kind of like a little detective reading the scripts as you go along, and there's like little comments about mom, and obviously you meet like mummified mom and dad looking down on you and all these things. So then you kind of piece those together, and then gradually as we receive more episodes through the first series, you kind of unpack more and more about kind of the traumatic version of his childhood that caused him to be a little bit like that, and how the court works. I think that's the fun thing about the show, and kind of the useful thing for me as well, I guess, being part of The Favourite, I got to watch Olivia Colman play the Queen in that and see kind of how that role was for her in terms of being kind of a, not a political pawn, but, you know, in amongst that setting, and how lonely and isolating it can be, and how manipulative people can be around you. So it's kind of having that insight beforehand, but then reading the script, and it's kind of beautiful how it develops, because you do kind of meet this character and he's very much a bit of a buffoon in many ways. And then gradually throughout the series, the more scripts I'd get, it'd be more and more fun to play, because you kind of got to peel away that more bravado side of his personality and kind of see the little boy kind of inside of it.
Right. And with that idea of there being the little boy inside of him, it really feels like there's certain aspects of his personality that just haven't fully developed or matured and formed in him. You know, I'm thinking about one of the scenes in the first season where he's literally just throwing everything around in his room, and his aunt standing there saying, oh, you know, he's always done this ever since he was a boy. So how do you really look at aspects of who he is as a character and think about what are the things that he won't necessarily have developed and matured that he's still holding on to from his childhood like that?
I don't know. I just kind of make it up a little bit and see what the script says, basically. And also, I'm not always the most mature person ever, so I think that probably plays into it a fair bit.
And Elle, I wanted to talk about your work producing the show, because, you know, in putting together the first season, you had the opportunity to really go around and be part of the pitch meetings and be there during the development process, during the casting. But now that you guys are filming season two, what's the evolution of your role as a producer been, and some of the new aspects that you've ended up involved in?
Yeah, and I think the other producers on the show and Tony, Tony is so present on set always, and we have such a great relationship. I think like our shorthand, and like we're pretty much always on the same page with what a scene's about, or like what it's like. Yeah, like that's just, we're just like, obviously, you know, so I think that we trust each other in that way. Like, I think that Tony trusts me also on set to, if I'm like, oh, I don't know if, you know, it isn't, I'm like, I don't know if that is our show, you know, like, and I will, I'm like, I feel like in the first season, like, Catherine was obviously finding her voice as in power, and I kind of was navigating that, you know, myself, and like learning to speak out. And I think I've become pretty like outspoken of a person, if I see something that I'm like, maybe we could do better, or maybe we could, you know, try this, like, why not, like, you know, throw it at the wall, see what sticks with things. So I think, yeah, I guess I'm making more outspoken decisions sometimes. Like, we need this or we don't need that. But it's been fun. I mean, it's like that whole process of pitching and stuff, that was also kind of a getting to know each other, Tony and I, that we like had a nice lunch, like in between our pitches, which were so weird. We're like, this is so weird. But it was also kind of more of us like getting to know each other and start that bond, which is basically, that's the most crucial thing. You just really want to trust everyone that you're working with. So yeah. And put in obviously the cast. I mean, like our ensemble cast, like they're they're such incredible actors, and they are also just the best people. So I think that that was something that we've all talked about of like when casting, we're like, yeah, but we also want people that are so cool and fun and people we want to hang out with. And they're like, we all love each other so much. It's like, you know, to say, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, of course you do, but we really do. And they're just so unique and care about their character so much and have so much to say, and they bring so much to the table. So that's something that was, I think, one of the most important things in the beginning of the whole process of everything. So
that's so great. And Tony, because the word ensemble cast came up, I actually want to talk a little bit about the way in which you service the ensemble cast of characters so well. And, you know, I'm even thinking about that final scene in the first season with the coup, where it really is, you know, essentially you're writing and servicing and giving a lot of depth and layering to a dozen characters within those few scenes. And sometimes they're only on screen for a snapshot of a moment, but you have to give us so many elements of what's their motivation, what are they doing, why are they doing it, what's their relationship to everybody around them. And you really move those scenes into a lot of different physical locations as well. So I was really curious, you know, in looking back at that scene, how you crafted it out in such a way while making sure that you were fully servicing that number of characters and bringing so much detail forward in all of them.
I think in writing the show, one of the hard things is servicing everybody. Because it's sort of like how to make it really organic, but you have to keep the world of the court alive. And it's also, they are an incredible ensemble. So it is, you really do want to, and the fun of second season has been putting together characters who have been in a room together, or because I think when you're writing it, which is in the casting, we just found these great actors who are so lovely. And they always bring something great. There's no one in there. It's sort of like whatever you want to write, they can all do it, which is great. And then the other thing is, it's just a balance issue, really. It's like, it's all driven out of Alan Nick's characters, really. I'm always like, we're telling those stories. And then it is about just kind of as skillfully as possible weaving everyone else into it with their own agendas, with their own feelings about everything, so that they're not just functional, so they have their own. So I guess that's the trick, which does take a little bit of work, but I mean, they're so great. It's sort of worth it, and it's why I guess we've got an ensemble award, because they are so great, and we were so lucky to find such great people.
And then Ellen, Nick, one of the scenes that I wanted to ask the two of you about within that moment is the scene where the two of them essentially have that really extensive two-hander, because I think both of you bring so many different layers and nuances into that. There's a real power play going on between them. There's a lot of comedic elements, and there's also real genuine emotion and heartbreak for both of them in very different ways. So by the time you got to the point of shooting that particular scene, how did the two of you really take those pages of dialogue and think about all of the different moments and kind of the emotional roller coaster and the different layers that these characters are going through in that particular scene?
These are the scenes at the end of episode 10?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, those were fun ones, weren't they?
Sure. We were really looking forward to those, to that one. We were like, it was a build up. Like, here we go.
Yeah. I mean, how did we prepare? We were like, we did rehearse them a little bit physically in terms of planning out just where we're going to be, just to make sure that on the day we had enough time to shoot them. But also, I think we both just have a lot of fun in scenes with each other. I think we enjoy like bouncing off of each other and seeing where the scene goes. And also those scenes being the climax of everything as well, they flipped so nicely back and forth in terms of who had the power and who had the upper hand and what was going to happen. And that's just then a really fun thing to play, I think, in the scene of who's setting traps for the other one and how it plays out. So I think those scenes are just enjoyable to play for me anyway, because we just kind of get to go at each other in a really fun way.
Yeah, I think that that one, at least the power play of that, and also the fact that like she's found out she's pregnant, and so there's like a baby in the mix, and I remember, and like it was that whole the costume design of that, of like having me like cut the stomach out, that was like all Tony's idea of like in the script, like all right, how are we going to do this? They're like, there was a whole, like, for that scene, it was a whole, like, I don't know, like construction, like we're like, okay, like through the corset cut, like it was like this whole like mechanism that was going on. But I think it made for a very iconic image with the pink and Nick and I don't know, we have the best time like filming. We work in a very like similar way and we're constantly trying to kind of challenge each other in the scenes and yeah, I know it's crazy. Like one scene can be wrapped up in so much like emotion and drama, and then also there are like jokes in it. So you're like, well, I have to kind of hit the punchline too, while being truthful and actually feeling the weight of the world and the situation. Because I mean, when it comes down to it, the show is very grounded in like real trauma, you know, like high stakes. So.
And then off the back of that, Tony and Elle, I wanted to talk about that very, very final scene in the show when Catherine's essentially running across the grounds after she's lost the love of her life. And there's no dialogue in that moment. And yet it tells you absolutely everything that you need to know on screen. And so I was interested in how the two of you figured out what the beats of that scene were going to be. And if it was always that delivery and that singular performance, or whether you tried different nuances of it at all when you were filming it.
And I think because the show, I mean, it didn't need any dialogue really. I mean, it was, yeah. I think the show's very like in my, I'm always like, we have a lot of dialogue as these two know. But it's very powerful when we suddenly don't. And we, you know, you let, like we did it recently as well in season two, it's like, it's just letting suddenly our great actors just take everything they've done and earned into those moments and have them, you know. So I think that was always the idea, was what else could, there's literally nothing else to be said, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we filmed that in Italy, in Caserta. Yeah. We got to do that in the first season. Yeah, this beautiful castle. I'm like, oh, we want to go back.
we're homesick for Italy.
Yes.
And then Ellen, Nick, you know, because the two of you talk so much about how you work very similarly, and there's a really instinctual style to both the way that you both approach a lot of scenes in your craft. I was really curious what that looks like when the two of you are coming together and rehearsing scenes beforehand, or particularly when you're going into a scene with a little bit less time to talk about it and have rehearsals, and how you really just kind of work and balance off of each other and reading each other's performances to find what those beats are going to be together.
I take that one up.
Yeah, I mean, we had a scene. We've been having like this whole week. We've had a lot of scenes together. Like they kind of crammed them in. So we've been doing a lot of those like two-handers. Some really like great ones in the second season of kind of back in that quick like just going at each other back and forth. I think for both of us. Because we don't have time to rehearse. Like this rehearsal idea is really not something we do on the show much. We don't have that much time. But I think that we've gotten used to that in a way. So like if someone does say the word rehearse, we're like, wait, what? Like you're not going to shoot it? Like, because it's like a 7-page, it's like, okay, you're here, 7-page scene. It takes a while to get through the scenes because we're not chopping it up. Like we're sitting there every single time, every angle, we're going from page to page. So it's like, you almost feel like, no, don't waste it on a rehearsal. Like at least hit record. I think we both want to jump in. Like that's how we are. Like, let's dive in. We'll mess up. We'll keep each other going. We'll get each other back on track. Like, I think also, you know, when we know someone kind of, I think it was the other day, like Nick even, like in the middle of a scene, I did it too in one, but it was like, we kind of totally changed the way that we said the line. So it was like, oh, like we've been doing it and we were kind of, we know the scene. And then he just played it in a new way. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, and it was like genuine surprise. Like I think finding those genuine moments where we can shock each other, that's what's gonna, it always normally, like that's what appears on screen. Or the moments we break and we laugh, we're like, that was like, that was good. Hold it together. All right, good. They can cut back to me. They can use that take. That was, you know, like we're like afterwards, we're like, yeah, that was the one. That was the one. But yeah, I think finding just like new ways to interpret or like a new cadence to the way a word is said that we're like, wow, that was good. That was interesting. Like we're very encouraging to each other, I think. And yeah, just like to get into it. We're just like, all right, we just got to do it.
Yeah, we're not too precious with it. And I don't think you can be. We're kind of happy to make fools of ourselves and try things. And like you say, I think supportive and enjoy like playing off of each other. So that makes it very easy. It's like, yeah, when Elle does something funny, I'm like, oh, that was really funny. And I'm like, oh, don't laugh. Sometimes I'll laugh. I'm like, just get to the end of the take so it's good and then carry on. And it's like, yeah, just I think with all the cast, I think everyone's really enjoys it because the scenes are good. So it gives you great confidence to like just go in and have fun and enjoy doing them. And that means that I think that's something that people sense kind of watching the show, that we're having fun doing it, you know? I think you can sense that in people's work, even if it's not a scene that's like a fun scene per se, it's like you can still see that they're enjoying it somehow, or I don't know, makes it more watchable.
Yeah. And Nick, I wanted to talk a little bit about the huzzah of the show, because if there's one word that everybody has taken away from the show, it is the huzzah. And I thought it was so interesting that the way that you use it in so many different forms and to mean so many different things. And we're mentioning how part of the genesis of that came from working on The Favorite, one of the exercises that you did being at the end of lines to say what, and to really think about all the different ways that you could add that into a line. And so I wanted to ask how that really informed the way that you've pulled huzzah into so many moments, to the point where you found yourself even using it if it wasn't in the script at certain moments.
Yeah, I think those exercises were very useful because you have to always tag on a word at the end of a sentence or something in those games. It means that you get used to, and so huzzah can mean anything and just kind of is a little bit of a cherry on top or an exclamation mark or whatever it might be. And then it's just, yeah, just after you said it so many times, it becomes quite a natural thing to just to say. I think first series I had to be wary of like getting to the end of a scene and then just saying huzzah because you run out of dialogue to say and they haven't called cut yet. So you just say huzzah if in doubt. I don't feel as though I've said it as much so far in season two. Maybe I'm imagining that.
I'll have to do a huzzah count on the scripts.
Huzzah. Can we get a huzzah count?
And Tony, one of the other language things that I wanted to ask you about is the use of curse words, because you use them with such brilliance, again, in so many different ways. You know, it can really be used to break someone down viscerally, or it can be used in a really comedic and fun way. I have to admit that my favorite phrase that you've written into the show is cuntstruck for some reason, because it's just so offensive, but delivered in such a comedic way. You know, again, kind of like, do you find yourself thinking consciously about the way that you really want to bring that type of language into the script? Or is it similar to the myriad of modern and classic language where it's just very second nature to you at this point?
Yeah, it's pretty second nature. I mean, we don't rehearse, we do have a read through. So I do sometimes, we'll see if we've just got some because I'm lazy and it's just crept in. Yeah, they're supposed to be used really like tonally, like emotionally, rather than just peppered through the script. I do try and use them because I'm a bit of a language nut. So everything is used very specifically because otherwise if the language is too loose, it doesn't work. Or if there's too much swearing, if, you know, sometimes scripts come in and there's a lot of swearing and it's like, no, it's got to be really, really specific how we do it and why we do it. So yeah, it's fun, but yeah, my mother hates it. But other than that, most people like it.
I think at the end of series one, there was a scene where we were looking for a new line of dialogue, I think for George, and we text you offset being like, hey, what could be this line here? And within like 30 seconds, Tony texts back this brilliant line that had the word cognitized in it, which I'd never heard that expression or that word. I don't even know if it is, but it was like so genius and also so quick that you responded with it. It had never been in one of the scripts before. And we're all like, oh, genius, that's what we need, cognitized.
a little example of how naturally it comes to Tony.
Tony, I also really love the way that you use mirror languaging as a tool between these two characters and the game that they're playing up against each other. You know, in that later scene in episode 10, where he's found out about her betrayal to him, you know, he kind of mirrors back. I love that you see that when he's gained the upper hand, but then you also use it for Catherine as a tactic of ingratiating herself into him, you know, even going back to the fact that she starts using the word huzzah herself and really is kind of mimicking him a little bit to get him on her side. And so I really wanted to ask a little bit about how you use language mirroring throughout the scripts in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I use it, it's not too conscious. It's just something that started happening. And I think it's because the characters are very engaged with each other. And, you know, Nick and Al are so, like, those two handers are like our, you know, for me, they're like just such my favorite thing to go watch and on set, you know, because I think there's such engagement, there's such listening. So I'm always like, they really listen to each other. And so I just feel like they have a rhythm and it locks them together in a way as characters. And so they listen and they feed back and they take every opportunity, like they do as actors. It's like they take every opportunity to like take the other one down or challenge the other one or like, you know, one up. And so I feel like they're always in this, like, their dialogue is competitive and it is kind of, so it is mirroring is a good way to like get your opponent in that I listened and I've now used your card against you is a kind of like fun thing for, it's fun to write and fun to play, I guess. And yeah, so I just like, I mean, I really love those kind of things in language, you know.
Yeah. And then Elle and Nick, I wanted to talk a little bit about your work on the show with the intimacy coordinator. And Elle, I know that that's the first time that you've ever worked with one before. And Nick, I'm not sure if you've worked with an intimacy coordinator before, if this was your first project, but how having someone on set who can really focus just on a lot of the logistics and technicalities of those scenes allows you to keep your focus and have more of a central focus just on the character moments within those scenes and the emotional side of things and having to think a little bit less about the technicality.
Yeah, it's good. It's good in that sense, in terms of breaking down technicality and kind of making it very much kind of a choreography that can be broken down very clearly for everyone. But there's also a nice thing that having the intimacy coordinators there, they do actually help with the character beats of it as well in some ways, because then you've got almost like, yeah, someone who you can say, well, I don't think my character would do this, and they can suggest something like this. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about that. You go, oh yeah, that's a great thing because this character would feel like this about it or do that in response to it. So it's a very handy thing on top of obviously the good elements in terms of making sure everyone's comfortable and happy with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is that the same for you, Elle?
Yeah, I think it's the same. I mean, yeah, of course it's like, you know, makes it safe and is kind of a liaison to make things like less awkward, you know, especially like, you know, with some directors, if they feel weird about it, or we haven't had that, but still they're, it's nice. I think also just like making sure like the anatomy of things looks right. Like sometimes like you would be not there. You'd be like further down, you know, just like, you're like, oh, right. Yeah. So for me, it's like someone who's like looking out for you, but then also just making sure that it looks real on screen, you know, like someone just in tune to that. So it's been really helpful, I think.
And then lastly, I just wanted to ask each of you individually about, in working on the show, and particularly now that you're in the midst of season two, what you feel you've really learned about your craft from, you know, playing these characters, writing and developing these characters and producing the show, maybe starting with you, Nick.
With me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not fair, because now everyone else has got really great, eloquent answers and like really concise, and I'll be gibbering away. You know what? I think the thing that's really, really struck home for me is just like the confidence of having scenes that I'm really trusting going into acting. That, like I say, that framework of looking at the scene and going, I know this is great on the page, so I can then go in and just have fun with it. And that's been kind of the key thing. I think I've sometimes ended up in situations where I don't feel that as much, or I'm not sure what the scene's about exactly, or what I'm bringing to it as a character, and that's been difficult for me to navigate. So this, I just feel very happy and enjoy doing it, and enjoy watching all the rest of the cast and everything. So it's just fun.
How about for you, Elle?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for season two, we've like, I feel like, I don't know, there's like a new, there's like a new special feeling on set. Like there's something about it. Like I think because we got, which makes sense. Like it's the second season. Everyone's watched the first. People liked it. Like, you know, we found the tone, like we got into our groove. So now there's a real, I can just sense everyone kind of taking more chances, like in kind of doing, even with myself, like I'm, and I was like going into season two, I was like, oh gosh, like season one, she has such a specific arc where she, you know, from like naive to like powerful, like, you know, it's like, all right, that's the traditional arc. I'm like, yes. So I'm like, well, she's powerful now, you know. I'm like, what is she next? But actually, like now getting into it, it's so exciting to know. Oh my gosh, there's so much more. Like there's it's just so much beyond that. And I think everyone, we all feel that way with our characters, even with the scripts. Like it's just great. There's some crazy stuff. So it's I'm really really excited. We're having so much fun. Like we're right in the middle right now. So and I don't and Tony writes as he goes along. So I mean we're right. We haven't read 9 or 10. So we don't know how it ends. Again, we didn't really know how the season one was going to end either. So he keeps us waiting.
Thank you.
Tony.
I think, yeah, I think season two, like, I mean, I mean, COVID's made it harder, but other than that, it's fun to come back and do it. And I think for me, it's like one of the reasons I keep everyone waiting for the scripts is because I sort of watch the show. Like, I have 4 or 5 before I start, but then I want to watch it and I want to see what happens and I want to see what these guys bring to it. And so I think for me, it's like, which I haven't really done on a show before. I haven't really. I just inform me in a way. Like I have an idea of what I want everything to be. Even last year, it was just a fun thing to watch the show and let it evolve and let it inform the scripts as you watch scenes play out or characters interact together and you see episodes land and you see. So it is like that's fun because you do feel like it's a real dialogue between all of us, you know, in terms of
Oh no.
actors and
Okay,
all of making, you know, we're all now knows we're making the same thing, and it is a very specific thing, but it's like we're all on the same road, so it's a kind of, you know, it's just a sort of good experience to be in second season and watching everyone just deepen everything they're doing, you know.
Well, the show's really fantastic, and I think I speak for everybody when I say I can't wait to see what you've been concocting in the second season. And thank you so much to all of you for taking time in the midst of production to talk with us today.
Hey,
Thank
thank you so much.
you.
Thanks.